You know, there's things that are just in your soul and things that just run through your blood, and that's just, that's singing and music for me. And I mean, nobody in my entire family is.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I am your host, Stacy, and tonight I have a little bit of an announcement. I know normally following that opening, you hear the lovely voice of Miss Kaylee, and I wanted to start the show by wishing her the very, very best. For those of you who have been listening to us for a while, you'll probably recall that episode we did a few months back about burnout and about how that is a real thing and how women hustlers specifically sometimes can reach a point where they feel like they just have to put some things in perspective and focus their time and energies on the priorities that are working best for them. And Kaylee really took that episode to heart. And she has decided to step away from the podcast at this point and really focus on some other areas of her life. As you all know, she's a very busy hustler with a brand new piece of property in Buchanan that they're going to be building a house on. And she's got a lot of stuff going on. So she is definitely going to remain in our hearts, and she will probably pop in here whenever she has time and availability to do so. So we wish her the very, very best on really making that choice. That was a tough choice for her to take the time for herself and to focus on the things that she felt like she needed to focus on in her life. And that's what a hustler does. You know, they put things in and they prioritize and they make the tough choices. So we wish her the very best. We will certainly miss her. And I am going to continue on with the show as your solo host. So you're going to be hearing a lot more from me. You know, we interact a lot on social media, and I look forward to your comments and your suggestions and your reviews, and I look forward to interacting with the rest of you as we move forward here. So in light of that, I'm still going to drink some wine. So I'm actually going to drink my favorite wine tonight. I have been saving this wine for a little while. I felt like tonight was a really appropriate episode to bring it out, pulled it out of the fridge and decided, all right, if we're truly living what we preach here and the whole idea of jumping into new adventures and taking chances and living in the moment, well, it's time to open up my favorite damn bottle of wine. And I'm going to go ahead and do that. And so tonight I am drinking the Tiger Lily Rosé. Cool name, right?
Yeah.
And it is a definitely an all-day rosé. For me tonight, it might be an all-night rosé. it's a 2017, and it is made by a friend of the podcast, Adam McBride, from Hickory Creek Winery. So he made this wine himself. You know, he took over the winery back in September. And so all of the 2017 versions are made by Adam and his crew out there, and they just released the Tiger Lily Rosé. It is fantastic. If you haven't been out there yet, you should check them out. Grab yourself a bottle or two or three, and then when you listen to our episode, pour some of that into your glass and drink along with me. So drinking some local wine tonight, jumping into new adventures, taking chances, living in the moment, and also appropriate, I am joined tonight by someone who is also jumping into new adventures. What's up, Taylor?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well tonight. I'm doing pretty well. I am recovering from a Spartan race that I ran this past weekend. So we've been talking a lot leading up to it. Last week's episode, listeners heard from one of my best friends, Tara, who is also my racing partner. We're the kind of friends that, it's like that one meme, right, where it says, that sounds like a terrible idea. What time?
It's really funny you say that, because my best friend and I send that to each other on a daily basis.
Yes. I mean, if you don't have best friends like that, what are you even doing with your life?
Truly. Truly.
So we just, our listeners know this because I've been training since January for the Spartan Trifecta. So we finished the first. There's like three different races in order to earn your trifecta. We finished the first one last weekend. So
that's so cool.
Awesome. We had a road trip to Ohio. We listened to some awesome music. We went there with our friends Karen and Jess. It was the four of us girls. We crushed it, ran through some mud,
that's so
jumped
fun.
Over some fire, climbed some ropes, did a whole bunch of stuff like that. So anyways, so cool. Yeah, it was a fun time. So coming off of that, and I know some of our listeners are Spartan racers too, so you know, hit me up on social and let me know, did you run a Spartan race last weekend? And are you going to be in Chicago for the next Spartan race? Now, I know where you're going to be when I'm running a race in Chicago. Because I listened to you on the radio, I know that June 22nd, 23rd, you're actually going to be in Chicago too. But
I will.
Not running a Spartan.
I won't be running a Spartan race.
What will you be doing?
I will be at the Lake Shake Festival.
What is that?
So that is basically just a huge country music festival. In my opinion, they've got the best lineup in probably the whole entire country. So it's a country music festival. There's going to be Low Cash, Florida Georgia Line, Dierks Bentley, like... pretty much most of
anybody who's anybody.
Anybody who's anybody is going to be there.
Nice. And you're taking a road trip.
I am.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're going to be there the 22nd through the 24th, hopefully interviewing some people, hanging out with everyone, and just listening to some good country music.
So fun. So why is that something that you are going to and doing interviews? So if that gives the listeners any indication of why you might be here tonight, Taylor Wynell. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
It's Wynell, but Wynell. You know, a bunch of people pronounce it a bunch Wynell. Of different ways.
No, we want to pronounce really. It the right way. So that's why it's Taylor Wynell. Got it. Because every day she's winning a little bit, right?
It's true.
All at she this does point. Is win. Mm-hmm. So Taylor Wynell is going to be at that festival, but there's a good reason why. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Taylor.
Yeah. So basically, I'm a singer, singer-songwriter. Everyday lifer, you know, trying to keep it real. No, I just have such a passion for music. Ever since I was little, it's just been, you know, there's things that are just in your soul and things that just run through your blood. And that's singing and music for me. And I mean, nobody in my entire family is musical at all, which
really?
Is really funny. Yeah, like at all. And it's just super funny that I ended up here in the way that I am. I'm actually like, you know, hustle's a great word for it. I do a lot of firsts in my family, so I'm kind of a free ball, like a little. I'm out there a little bit to my family.
Sometimes they're like, "What are you doing, Taylor?"
Yeah, at this point, no. They're just kind of like, "She's
Taylor.
She's over there. She's doing what she's doing." But usually, I mean, at the beginning, they're kind of like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I really don't know what I'm doing."
Sure.
No, I love animals. But I think that singing is just really. I tried to get away from it for a little bit because, just like you said earlier, I burned out real quick. Mm-hmm. I was going to Nashville during school every other week pretty much and recording and spending mm-hmm. all my time down there trying to make connections and getting in the business. And I did. I got in real quick. And because, yeah. I mean, the thing about Nashville is it's very hit or miss. But if you have the talent and you have the things to be putting out there, someone's going to pick you up.
Yep.
And that's just kind of what happened. But I was 15, 16.
So let's back up. So for you listeners here, if you haven't heard of Taylor, you'll be familiar with her obviously by the end of this episode, mm-hmm. and then we're going to play some of her songs as well. But Taylor is a recording artist.
Oh, yes, yes.
A successful recording
artist. Should have maybe mentioned that.
She's just so humble. She
figured
just,
you knew.
She's just an everyday lifer. Everyday, living life every day, she says. So yeah, she's a successful mm-hmm. recording artist and really has been traveling around, mm-hmm. playing her own music.
Yeah.
And, so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, about her journey. So so let's go back, right? So you are, where did you grow up?
I grew up in St. Joe, well, St. Joe, Coloma area, and kind of in between those two. Right now, I live in Berrien Center and Houston, Texas. So I'm somewhere in the middle between those all the time.
Yes.
So you can find me in any of the 30 states in between.
All right. So Michigan and Texas. Mm-hmm. Got it. So you're growing up. You decide you want to go into music. What does that look like?
you know, there's a lot of different paths that you can take in music. I'm just kind of one of those people where at first I was kind of like, you know, I want to be famous. Like, I just want to be the biggest name. And then I kind of went through a phase where I was like, I could play at like The Getaway forever and I'd be okay probably. And then I hit a point kind of where I'm at now where it's like, you know, I think that my message is what's most important to mm-hmm. me. And it's mostly letting people know, like, if I could write a song and have anybody perform it, as long as my word gets out there and it affects someone and it helps someone in the right way. I mean, I'm mostly directed kind of at girls and women. That's kind of like how I write my songs with the envisionment. But I mean, I think truthfully, a song is already written. It's just, it comes to you and you just put it on the paper. That's kind of where I come from. But honestly, it could go anywhere from here. I'm really open to anything. I'm just kind of seeing where the wind blows. And, I mean, I'm going to really work to get there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm just taking it one day at a time. And I think that, honestly, the music is what's going to get me wherever I'm going. But mm-hmm. it could be as big or as little as it wants.
Right.
And I'm okay with that.
Where did you – so how did it start? How old were you?
When I started professionally singing.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I started competitions when I was about 13, and then it got kind of professional where I was getting paid and taking trips to Nashville and performing at different places when I was about 15.
Okay, so what did that look like? I mean, that was obviously you're just a small town girl, and then now you're getting paid, and you're getting paid for trips to Nashville,
right.
And you're recording.
That was a lot.
What was that like?
Yeah, that was a lot real quick. When I was 15, I was actually still a sophomore, so I was a young mm-hmm. high schooler. And so basically, it kind of took off really quick. And in the business side note, it's just really important to trust the people you're working with, because you can get screwed over real quick if you don't know exactly who you're working with. So that was something I learned really hard.
Was that something that you went through, unfortunately?
Yeah, a couple times. There was a couple bad deals that I made with the devil real quick, and it was
so. Do you want to talk about that? I mean, you don't have to be specific about it, but just for our, maybe there might be some listeners out there who are considering going into this industry, what are some things that maybe that you could give them some advice to steer them away from that?
Yeah, there's definitely some things to look for. I think that don't just look at the accreditation of somebody, because anybody can put, oh, I worked with John Mayer, or I worked with blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Anybody can put that on there because, I mean, I've met Blake Shelton. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can put that on my resume. But I think that definitely getting to know a person and who they are is mm-hmm. the most important thing. And that's not really something that I did right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I would just go in and kind of like, oh, well, you want me? Like, you actually – I think it was a lot knowing my self-worth too, because I would go into something and someone would take interest in me and I'd be like, oh my gosh, they like me. Like, this is perfect. They want to work with me. They want to record for me. They want to be my agent. That's awesome. But you have to remember that it's a business, and not everybody has your best interest at heart. And so it's staying positive.
That's a tough lesson to learn at 15.
You're telling me. I'm out there like, not everybody loves me. Like, but, you know, I think that that's part of the game too, especially as a girl. People look at you, especially in the country music business. Unfortunately, they look at you kind of as like, you know, like
a pretty face.
Yeah, like you're cute, you're uh-huh. blonde, you're small, you can make it, you've got the face, but like that's not really what I'm here for. And I think that the most important thing that I've learned is when I walk into like a business now, instead of looking for people's approval, I kind of like demand respect instead. And so I think that that's something that I would recommend right off the bat, is going in and, number one, looking at character over what they're offering you. Number two, look at their background as much as you can. See if any of the people that they've actually worked with have gone anywhere, have done anything. Like, things that, like, kind of their track record, and see if they're good people. And third, I mean, I just would walk into a room and demand the respect that you deserve. I think that's the biggest thing, because that's something that I didn't have. I didn't really know my self-worth when I was 15.
Well, who does, right?
Right.
I mean, especially if you are can be blinded by the glitz and the glamour and the right. lights and the promise of being a star in Nashville. I mean, exactly. that can be very intoxicating for anybody.
Right.
Now you're 15 and you don't have those life lessons that
exactly.
other people might have. And so that's mm-hmm. that's something tough. That, I mean, are you proud of who you are coming out of that? Are you glad that you went through that experience?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't change that for the entire world, because I mean, back then I didn't even have a boyfriend. Like, I still just had all of the hope. I was like, this is great. I'm going to be Taylor Swift and hand out my CDs and somebody's going to love me. And it was like, oh gosh, I was so cute back then. Like, it was adorable. I'm just like, oh, that's sweet. Like, aww. Oh, the world's just going to you're going to be cute. But like, no, I mean, looking back, I wouldn't change anything, because now I know for a fact that no matter how hard the industry hits me, I'm going to hit it 20 times harder right back.
I love
and
that.
It's like, I wouldn't have had that if I wouldn't have been knocked down. If I didn't have that, I'd still be probably sitting here today trusting the wrong people. Mm-hmm. And I probably wouldn't have had as good of a head on my shoulders as I do now.
For sure. So. I think that that's probably the case. So you go to Nashville, you're 15, you're kind of navigating through that whole system, you're learning mm-hmm. about it. What happens next? What was the next step?
I mean, basically it was my dad and I a lot, because my stepmom and my mom and my stepdad would all stay back and be with my brother and my family and stuff.
Sure.
So and especially because, like, when you're going into the new business, you don't want, like, the whole crazy family coming. So right. I'm like, all right. Yeah. So my dad's the most mellow, so he's the one that's coming. I love you all, but I'll show you the work when I get back. Right. And so it was on most of the trips, it was me and my dad. We'd pack into the Jeep and drive the 8 hours down to Nashville. And after recording, my dad is so wise, honestly. Like, I'm ready to hit the streets. I'm like, let's go to all the recording studios.
Yeah.
Like, we are just, like, we're putting it out
let's
there.
Do
let's
it.
Go. My dad's like, no. And so basically we took my songs to a couple radio stations, and that was where we first went, because we theoretically put it down. And we were like, okay, we can either, like, take it and try and get you a deal, or we can try and get it heard and you can go the kind of back route.
Hmm.
And that was one of my biggest things, and still is today. I don't want to give up any of my freedoms. I'm like my own recording artist, and I don't want to go to a studio and have them try to control me at all whatsoever.
Gotcha.
And so we decided that going to radio stations was going to be the best way in. So we went to Sirius, and they gave me a tour around the studio, which was super cool. If you ever get the chance to go to Nashville and go to Sirius XM, do it. It's really cool. Sirius the Highway. Awesome. But yeah, so we went to a lot of radio stations. And then I kind of just hung out, got a feel for Nashville, performed on a couple stages. I performed at Tootsie's a couple times. That's really fun. And really that was pretty much it. We came home after that, and then I got involved with 97.5 a lot. It was back when Wild Bill was still the
sure.
The host on there, and yeah, so we kind of just did that. It was super low key. I was performing at the Getaway a lot, and so I'd get up there and perform those songs, and yeah, it was a lot to do with building my fan base in the beginning, just because you're nothing without your fans. That's
absolutely.
Just the fact. So, like,
same thing in the podcast
world, right?
Right. Like, you have to have that tribe behind you. And,
exactly.
And one thing that I've learned, and you've probably learned this too, is that, yeah, sure, you can pay to play. You can pay to tell people about you. But if you're going to be the real thing and it's going to be mm-hmm. a long-term situation, you got to build a genuine fan base. People
exactly.
who will go to bat for you and who will support you and who really care about you and what you're putting out there.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I mean, that's all my fans are completely organic. And mm-hmm. these fans are troopers, because I have decided I was a senior in high school and I was like, I'm going to be a normal girl, which... Yeah, okay. Sure you are, Tay. All right. See you in 2 months when you're back
your
in
mind.
Nashville. Like, okay, bye. But no, I... these fans are so, so genuine. Like, they've been with me for years, and I haven't lost a single one. And I've, like, gone completely blackout, not talked to them for, like, 6 months. And, like, they're all still there. They're
yeah.
like, hey.
Okay,
and I'm
Tay.
Like, oh, my God. You guys are so awesome. Like, I'm the worst. But, no, I think that that's a part of it, too. Because, I mean, those are the people, like, I followed Thomas Rhett before he was anything. And mm-hmm. those are your truest fans. Because now I'm, like, okay, I'm going to love you till the end, because I was there in the beginning. And
sure.
You know what I mean? I think it's getting those genuine fans and building your fan base, because I mean, without my, I could sing all day, but if nobody's listening, then there's absolutely no point.
Right. So I know money coming in eventually.
Eventually, I'm going to be a starving artist if you don't keep helping me.
So tell me about your, do you have a social media strategy? Do you utilize social media a lot to build that fan base?
Yeah. So at first I was very Facebook heavy because it was like 2014 or 2013, mm-hmm. and that was the rage. Like, everybody had a Facebook. And so, yeah, I had a bunch of fans on Facebook and kept up on there. I still do. It's mostly for the older generation that I go on Facebook for
like
now.
Like me. I know. I get it.
No, it's more for, like, my mom and, like, my grandma and, you know, people that don't know how to use Instagram and Twitter. It's right. mostly for, like, right. for them. But I still go on there and post everything. But now I spend a lot of time on my Instagram just because I've found personally through kind of my habits of following artists is I like to look at their pictures. Yes. And I like to know what they're tweeting and what they're thinking. And, I mean, Facebook is more of like, oh, I'm going to post this for my grandma so she knows I'm having fun at church this Sunday. And then I go to Instagram and I'm like, my friends and I were at the bar. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like Instagram's so much more personal.
I know.
And Twitter is like your thoughts in the moment. And yep. it's like, so I spend a lot of time on those. And I make sure I post every couple of days. I have a story on my Instagram all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's being super relatable is kind of my strategy, I guess. And it's, I don't put any filters on it. I'm like, stay if you want to stay and go if you don't. And I'm not going to judge you either way.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's a place that you come and that's all my friends and we're family and that's that.
I love it. I love it so much because one cool thing about sitting in this seat with these headphones on and kind of being in the host seat of this podcast is there's so many common themes with hustlers. So every hustler that we bring in here, obviously, they have those common themes of working hard and pulling themselves up from their bootstraps and learning from their mistakes and powering forward and just having that mentality that they're going right. to conquer the world. But some of the other cool things I think that are in common too is just their authenticity. So I think back to an episode, and listeners, you'll remember this, with Des B., who is just a fitness guru out there who's killing it, and she's smashing it on Instagram, has like a billion followers. And she said the same thing, like, look, you can like me and stay. This is who I am. Like, mm-hmm. and if you don't want to be on my team, that's cool too. Like, peace,
right.
go with love, all that kind of good stuff. But I'm not going to change who I am mm-hmm. and pretend to be somebody that I'm not. So
I think that's really what it takes, you yeah. know?
In order for, and I mean, think about the people that you want to follow or that you want to mm-hmm. emulate. You know, it those aren't fake people.
I mean, I just think of Miranda Lambert at this point. Right. She's like, if I could meet anybody in the entire yeah. industry, it'd be her. I love
Why is that?
Her. Just because, I don't know if you can like say bad words on here, but I guess you can cut it out. She's just a boss ass bitch, basically.
So I'd like to inform you that we are an explicit podcast, so oh, you good. Can say whatever you would like.
But that, I mean, that's the reason. Because
yes.
she is unapologetically herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I look for in my friends. That's who I surround myself with. I mean, it took me 19 years to get to be able to say that I don't give a shit who you think I am. I don't care. But these are my friends, these are my people, and I mean, I'm not afraid to, I'm not going to apologize for being who I am because
right.
I'm completely proud of it. And I think that that's who she is, and especially, it's been a long time coming, but I mean, Kerosene was the first song I ever sang in Nashville. It'll be the last song I ever sing in Nashville, and that's just, I don't know. I love her.
Yeah.
And I love what she stands for.
I do too. And I definitely see some similarities there, and obviously similarities with hustlers. Just the whole idea, look, I am who I am, and you can like it or you can mm-hmm. hit the road. Either way is cool yeah. with me.
Yeah. I think that's so. Just like, that's what it takes to be, I mean, a woman these days and mm-hmm. in any industry that you're going into. You just have to be unapologetical about everything
mm-hmm.
and just. Yeah, I love that. I love it when people can be like that. A lot of girls in my sorority are like that, and that's kind of why it like, brought me to them.
Yes.
I just was kind of floating along in college, and I was like, ooh, you guys are cool. And they were like, oh, so are you. And we just were kind of like.
Aren't making girlfriends so fun? We're like, oh, yes, you like the same things I like. You sound
exactly.
cool, too.
That's why
let's,
I don't get
let's
it.
Let's be best friends.
That's why I don't like it when people are like, oh, sororities. I'm like, wait a minute. It's just a bunch of girls and, like, a girl gang. It's so
hey,
much fun.
It's a girl gang. Oh, I love that. So, all right, so you've already gathered then now that Taylor's in college.
Oh, yes, I am in college.
So talk about that.
Oh, college. It's college. It's good times. It's bad times. Yeah, so I go to Central right now. I'm actually going to be
going. Central Michigan.
Yeah, right? Central Michigan. Okay. I'm going to be going completely online after the fall, though. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm getting to that point in my life where, like, college was fun, but college was never for me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, education is really important to me. I think knowledge is power, and I am not going to give up my college education. But it's just being at school isn't helping me anymore.
You're taking a different path.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting to that point where I'm like, okay, well, like, I'd like to do my career now. So, you know what I mean? And
sure.
Just kind of, like, keep going. And being at Central is just not really helping me with that anymore. And it's not that I didn't have fun. It's just that it's in the middle of a cornfield and I need to get a move on.
Yeah.
So, I'm going
to
be going online.
I mean, it's country, but you need to go to a different part of the
country. I've been
in
the country for 19 years. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to go.
So, do you plan on going to Nashville?
Yeah. So, I've actually been talking to my parents about that a lot. I don't really think in my game plan right now that moving there completely would be a good idea for me, just because I'm not really ready to be on my own completely yet. I don't think that that would be the best move, but I think that for sure going there for a summer would be a really good smart move, just because I think a really important part of being an artist is the songwriting aspect, but I have never met an artist that made it completely on their own songs. So I think that it's really important to go down there and get co-writes and meet new people. And I mean, it's all the industry, whether it's good or bad, is all about who you know. And I just think that meeting super cool people that can help me write a super cool song, there's nothing wrong with that. So
sure.
I'd like to spend next summer just completely wheels up, go to Nashville, and spend it writing and going to different bars, going to different house parties, meeting new artists, collabing with people. Because, I mean, you never know who's going to be something or who's going to mean something to you down the road. And, I mean, the worst that somebody can do is say no.
Absolutely.
And I've never heard of a Nashville writer saying no to somebody. So, like, I mean, I'm just honestly, if all I end up with out at the end of that summer is making some friends, I'm cool with that too. Mm-hmm. So,
and because you never know when those friends are going to come in handy down the road,
exactly.
How you guys can help each other out too. I mean, it, as with any industry, even, you know, I'm in the PR marketing field.
Right.
It's also about making those connections, you know, and there's nothing that beats good old fashioned networking and finding people that you can work with and collaborate with along the way. So I think that your idea, being 19 and knowing that already, is pretty cool.
Thanks.
So, yeah.
I mean, that was one of the first things my dad instilled in me and my mom, too. I mean, we're all social butterflies. I mean, as you can probably tell, I don't really stop talking ever. But, no, I think that it's a super important thing that everybody should probably have under their belt is just people skills. And I mean, I think that no matter what field you're going into, being able to talk to somebody and be real and make connections is so important.
Mm-hmm. What challenges, if any, do you experience being 19 in this industry?
I think that especially when I first started, people taking me seriously and still to this day is like the most frustrating question is when somebody asks me, oh, so what's your backup plan? Like, what are you studying in school? And like, first of all, I'm about ready to drop out of this school just so you know I'm serious and I don't need a backup plan. Seriously, Trisha? Like, it's just so annoying. Like, you've known me since I was two when I was literally singing karaoke at Christmas parties. Why are you still doubting me? I have songs. Like,
I'm on Spotify, damn it.
It's so annoying. But no, I think that's probably the most frustrating thing is just, like, people still doubting you. I think that they'll do that forever, though.
For sure. And then obviously you probably react to that in a way that's still gracious, but in the back of your mind, you might be. You're gritting your teeth.
Honestly, I will show you exactly how it goes. They're like, oh, so, like, what's your backup plan? What are you studying? I'm like, oh, funny you should ask. Basically, I'm BCA, but I don't need any of it, so probably not going to go to school forever. And they're like, and I'm like, yeah, And that's basically how it goes. And then we exchange a couple looks and I wink and walk away.
Oh.
It's great.
So this is a practice move. I like it.
Yeah. No, basically I just kind of I'm sweet with them. And I'm like, yeah, you know, my backup plan is this. But truthfully, I don't really want a backup plan. Don't really need one. And I think that you have to tell yourself that in your own mind and in your own heart that you don't need a backup plan. Because if you're telling yourself you've got a backup plan, if I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, BCA, like cinematic arts, that sounds great. Okay, well, if you don't wholeheartedly believe that what I'm passionate about is what I'm going to do, then I'm not going to do it, and I shouldn't do it.
No.
Because there's 100 girls that are just as passionate, if more passionate than me, if I'm not wholehearted about it. So, I mean, at that point, it just comes bad. It comes down to, like, do I want it more than her? And how far am I willing to go for this? And,
right.
I mean, I'm all in at this point.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of pursuing your dreams fully. Mm-hmm. And another thing that really connects hustlers together is the whole idea of being jumpers, right?
Oh, I do not just walk off of that plane. I jump off that cliff into the unknown and I'm like, here I am.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That commonality that ties all of us together where we say, you know what? This isn't the practice life. This is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to jump and I'm going to figure it out along the way because that's what a hustler does. So are there some calculated risks? Sure. Like, do I have another way to make money? Should everything go to hell? Yes, of course. But that's not your goal, right?
Exactly.
Your goal is to pursue those dreams fully and to win.
Exactly.
I mean, win is in your name.
I mean, it physically is in my name.
Right.
But I think that if you have enough passion, and the thing too is like, I'm not like setting myself up for failure at all. There's 100 ways it could go wrong, but there's a billion that it could go right.
Yep.
And it's even if the odds were 1 to 1,000,000, okay, well, there's one way it could go right. So it's like, you know what I mean? I think that it's taking that leap, and there's truthfully, if you're passionate enough about it and you are to the point like, I will literally, like, fight you for this. Like, if you're that passionate about it, there's absolutely no way that you can go wrong. You just, like, you have to be able to tell people, like, nope, I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Nashville, and I'm going to do it. And then you just do it. And then people ask you, how'd you do it? And you're like, I told you I was going
I
to.
I just did it.
Like, I just did.
Yeah.
You know? And that's one of the things that I love about this business is that, like, I don't know. There's always been a fire in my soul for it. And I think that even if I tried to put it out with a little bit of water and a little bit of wine, it'd still be like, nah, girl. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? It'd be like,
you'd
no.
find the kerosene somewhere.
Oh, somewhere there'd be the kerosene. I've got it in the back of my car, actually. Just in case I need it for some revenge later. We'll see.
So let's – the whole idea of a backup plan – you know, you're a jumper and you're gonna take those risks, and I have no doubt that you're gonna be successful, and you'll remember us little people along the way, right?
The little people are the big people.
That's right. So when you're a successful recording artist and launching your big career, and you'll give me some tickets. Right?
Yeah. I would love to come back on the show. These are so fun.
So let's talk a little bit though about what you're doing this summer, because I think it's a pretty interesting thing that you're doing as an internship. So talk a little bit about that.
Oh, geez. This summer, I actually did the calculations. I don't have one free day until August 25th when I move into class.
Well, welcome to the world of hustling, right? You've known
perfect.
That.
I'm like,
you know
whoa.
That. There's no time for sleep.
Somehow, boyfriend get me a kitten. I have time.
Like, no. Oh, yes. We're going to talk about that story in a second.
No, you don't. I'm like, shut up. Yes, I do. No. Basically, this summer, it's so fun. So Matt, the sweet saint that he is, I will never say that again, so he better listen to this.
Oh, he's listening. Like... So our listeners are very familiar with Matt Malone, mm-hmm. the host of 97.5 Y Country, sorry, Matt. Nobody plays more country.
No, they don't.
So they're very familiar with him.
Perfect.
He helps us out a lot, and he has been a guest on the show as well. And we usually have a reference to him at least once a show. He has requested 5 references per show, but I feel like that's a little bit overkill.
I think that that's probably not going to happen.
It's probably not going to happen.
No. He's requested one shout-out per show at my shows, mm-hmm. and I'm like, yeah. So I always – the song I give him is Follow Your Arrow because it's a crookedly leads him back to the bar every time. I'm like, you wanted your shout out. He rolls his eyes in the background.
Perfect.
But no, basically, he has totally hooked me up this summer. So is Lindsay. Basically, I'm interning for them, but I get these like sweet benefits of being an intern, and I get to go to every festival pretty much that's within like a 100-mile radius. It's crazy. So many festivals. But not only do I get to go to the festivals, which I go to them anyway, but this is like festivals on acid. Like, this is crazy. I get to go backstage and interview these people, like these huge stars, and plug myself. Like, yes. You know, I'm about to be like, oh, would you like to hear my songs? Yes. And like just spray out my yes. cards. but no, I get to meet these people and ask them questions and really like learn from them and soak it in. But even more than that, I get to have a media pass and go into the media pit, which is in between the security and the stage, and take pictures of them during the concert. That's like better than front row seats. Mm-hmm. That's like VIP front row.
It is.
And it's just crazy.
And then you get to share that on your Instagram.
Yeah, I get to share that on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. I get to share it on 97.5's Instagram. And I just really get to do things that I truthfully, like, I'm looking back and I'm like, how did I even get here? Like, I can't, it's like a blackout. I just kind of ran and was like,
you worked your butt off.
Yeah, I just, it is really, that brings me back to my connections, because without Matt and without, even it started with Wild Bill. That's who introduced me to Matt. And that was a connection I made 5 years ago. And it's just, you truly never know what you're getting yourself into. So I think that comes down to like first impressions and being a good person, because if I came in and I was all like, I'm a teenager, I probably wouldn't be standing here.
Right.
So it comes kind of down to who you are as a person, too.
So talk about that first impression, because I'm sure there are going to be some listeners here who are thinking about maybe jumping into this industry. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, that whole idea of how you carry yourself and your first impression to these folks that you're meeting?
Oh, that is truly, if I could tell listeners or anybody in this world one thing, that is the most important thing I've ever learned in my whole life. Is I remember my Nana, who's one of the most influential women in my entire existence. She used to tell me as a little girl that it doesn't matter what you say, it doesn't matter what people remember about you. The only thing at the end of the day that they're going to take with them is how you made them feel. And that's just, like, that's stuck with me ever since I was 5 years old. And so it's always been a point to me to go into places and have people remember me. But if, like, I mean, you never know. You could be the only person that's kind to them in their entire day, their entire month, their entire existence. So I think that if I can be that person, I'm going to be that person. I don't care at the end of the day if they give me their business card or play my song on the radio. If I can be kind to them and show them that I'm a good person, that's speaks 1,000 volumes over any kind of advance you're trying to make on your own business. But I think that as far as first impressions go, that's just, they're so important. And that's something that you go back 10 years later and someone says, oh, I remember you from the radio station. You were really nice. Or you, like, you did this for me. Or you're, you know what I mean? It's just, they're so, so important. And so it doesn't matter if you're having a bad day or a bad week or a bad year, always carry yourself how you'd want to be seen to the world. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's all you have is your integrity and your character. And if you lose that, then you might as well just lay in bed for the rest of your life.
Watch some Netflix, eat some right. cheese puffs.
Which isn't that bad.
But just call it a day. Just call it.
I mean, that doesn't sound that bad, honestly. Like,
I mean, maybe do that every once in a while.
Maybe do that every once in a while, but good character, people.
Well, obviously, I think that is what has taken you to this point, right? Just the knowledge of making sure that you are carrying yourself in a way that shows your integrity, but also mm-hmm. shows your kindness to others, because I think you're absolutely right. You know, my first impression of you, listeners know that, you know, I'm in PR marketing for a financial institution, and I get the chance to hang out with Matt and now Taylor once a week. And certainly my first impression of you was you were just a very genuine person who has a good head on your shoulders and are just easily able to converse with anybody that comes in, and you just conduct yourself in a way that people want to be around you, right?
Oh, that's so nice. Thanks.
And then I listened to your music and I was like, damn, she's good.
That's my favorite. I think that's my favorite thing is when I'm like, I'm a singer, and people are like, mm-hmm. And then like, I play a song and they're like, Shit, she's a singer.
Oh, shit. She's, I was listening on Spotify today. I was like, oh, damn, that's good. I'm going to add that to the playlist. And then I listened to the second one. I'm like, man, that one's good. And then in my head, I'm thinking, she came up with all these words on her own.
Oh. I think that that's my favorite is, like, I get to, like, do that forever. And then I just get to surprise people. That's my favorite thing. It's
fantastic.
I love it.
In fact, at this point of the episode, we are actually going to drop in part of one of Taylor's songs. Now, you can find Taylor on Spotify. You can find Taylor on YouTube, and you're looking for Taylor Winnell. So it's W-I-N-N-E-L-L. Where else can they find you?
Really, the easiest way is to just Google my name, because every single thing I've ever done will pop up. Yeah, that's cool. That's probably the easiest way.
Cool. So which song should we play for everybody?
Probably He's Just a Boy, Just Look at Me. First Love, Second Chance is good too, but those two are probably my top favorite.
Okay. I think we're going to play a part of He's Just a Boy. And so Mike, our producer, hey, Mike, thanks for leaving me this fantastic sticky note. So our listeners know that Mike leaves me a sticky note every episode. He's our producer. So he even put, I think those are wine glasses. I don't know. Sometimes he draws me pictures. So.
Yeah.
So for all of our listeners here, we are going to take a little quick peek, I guess, at one of Taylor's most popular songs called He's Just a Boy.
My heart is saying, don't you dare give up. I guess that's how it is when you're in love.
Coming back, pretty good song.
Thanks.
So,
thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the background.
I love this song. So actually, it was in Nashville when I recorded this, and this one was a co-write with a girl down there. Because you can basically surf through this entire songbook, pick a song, and like record it, and it's yours. And that's one of the really cool things about singing and songwriting is, I mean, that's how it works. That's how Keith Urban ended up with blah blah blah's song, because he was like, oh, and Keith Urban was like, cool, I'm gonna sing that, you know. And that's just one of the really cool things that you wouldn't know if you didn't know a lot about music. And I like to plug that a lot, because I think that's so cool.
It is so cool
that I can like connect with someone else's song and record it, and that can be mine. So that's kind of what happened with He's Just a Boy. And I mean, it first, when we first got it, was just words and like a little tune. And I went into this recording studio, and me and the house band we just vibed completely right off the bat. And and what ended up happening was we came up with this whole tune, this whole scheme of what I wanted this song to be and what it meant to me. And me as a little 15-year-old that had like literally never had a boyfriend was like, I've been in love 7 times. And I'm telling you, he's just a boy. And they were like, okay.
Oh,
that's cute. Oh, boy. But yeah, so we busted it out. And I guess what the song really means to me at this point, after having like some really crappy relationships and some boys that I would love to forget, he really is just a boy. Mm-hmm. And that's just like, he really is. And I guess what that song means to me now, and if I was to tell anybody about it, I'd just say that, you know, the words ring true. Don't make him your whole world, because you need to be your own world, and he just gets to live in it. And that's the truth that my boyfriend has learned hardly. He's gone through the motions. No, just kidding. He's great. But I think that that's just something that you know, we all just need to remember.
Well, it's all about knowing your worth and knowing your value, right?
Exactly.
And not hitching your wagon to somebody else's
don't,
star, right?
Especially don't let a boy pull it. Like, come on, ladies.
Boys are the worst.
They really are. If you find a good one, like, Lord, keep them. Because right. There are, like, a billion bad ones for every one bad good one.
Yeah.
And they have little waffle brains. I tell my boyfriend this. He says I have a spaghetti brain because I can do so many things at one time and he can only do one thing.
I can only fill the syrup in one little compartment.
He literally he calls himself a waffle brain. He says, I'm sorry for my waffle brain. And I said, it's okay. It's fine. My spaghetti brain already forgave you like 20 minutes ago. You're cute. Let's move on.
You're cute. Let's go. So let's talk about this boyfriend because I've learned about him while listening to you. And tell me the kind of the cool, weird story about you guys meeting.
Oh, AJ. I love him. Okay. Basically, first, let me start off with I love him because he's a hustler just as much as I am. And that's what I'm drawn to. Because
hustlers are drawn to hustlers.
Oh, it's great. You know, I've had a dirt bag or two in my time. And the great thing about him is that his ambitions are just as big as mine. So not musically, but he's 6'9", so he plays basketball.
I see.
And yes, he is very, like, tall. but his personality is just as big as his height, so that's great. But no, I think that's why I was drawn to him is because his kindness and, like, who he is just as big as my personality. So, I mean, he's not just like, yeah, you can go sing. I'm going to sit on the couch on the tour bus. And
nobody got time.
He's like, all right, so I got my personal jet coming to see your tour bus in 20 minutes. I'm like, okay. And it's just like, that's what's really cool about him. But no, the cool story is that, so my mom moved to Houston recently in the past couple years. And he's from Houston, Texas. And we both ended up going to Central Michigan on, like, a whim, which is crazy. And so, basically, the cool thing, the weird thing about it is that Houston, if you know anything about it, has a couple million people. Not that many, you know.
Nah,
I know everyone.
Right.
But a couple million people, super small town, smaller than Dowagiac, like, super small. And Central Michigan has about 27,000 probably. So again, super small, Dowagiac size.
Right.
And so, I mean, you're not likely yet either to pass the same person on the side of the street. And so I was at the bar one night drinking water.
And just like she's drinking in her Hustlin' and Heels wine glass.
Right, I'm drinking water.
For Taylor's parents who are listening and for Matt who is listening.
I am always drinking water. It's life water and it's great.
Yes, in her Hustlin' and Heels wine glass that she will keep for the next year and a month or so.
And then we'll have
some
wine.
For sure, for sure.
But no, basically a friend through a friend. So my big, which for those of you that don't know, is like a sorority. She's like my big sister. Mm-hmm. So she's basically like a mentor, best friend, yada yada. So she knows this guy. His name's Brandon. He is the manager of the basketball team. And AJ was playing on the basketball team. So he comes up to me at the bar. I have no idea who this guy is. He's like, Taylor. And I'm like, hey. He's like, so Alicia, which is my big, and I are friends, and she told me that you live in Houston, and I know a guy on the basketball team that lives in Houston. You guys should meet and be friends. He doesn't really know a lot of people here yet. You guys should hook up. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I'm always looking for new friends, and
I got a spot open.
I'd love to. Yeah, sure. I've got a spot open right here for a nice 6'9 boy.
Right.
but basically,
I got a blank space.
I do. I'll write your name real quick. as I tell my ex that we are never ever getting back together.
Right.
But
just another Taylor we love.
Great. So basically, I had just gotten out of a relationship with, like, long story short, the worst boy actually ever. And he's talking to this girl, and I'd love to DM her and be like, girl, please run. Like, I know his dog is cute, but please run away. Please run away. But no, so I had just gotten out of a relationship with him, so I was literally like, screw every boy ever, because you all suck and you're terrible and I'm worth so much more. He's the boy that actually taught me what I'm worth, so actually I guess I'll keep him in my history, because without him, I wouldn't have been like, all right, give me my crown back. Right. Bye, boy. But no, so we started Snapchatting, and AJ tried to flirt with me, and he will literally never let me live this down, like, literally forever. because I totally friend zoned him, like, first Snapchat. Like, he out the gate is like, oh my gosh, like, you're really pretty. And I was like, thanks, I'm always looking to make friends. And he, friends, and I typed friends and made the letters go bigger. And he was like,
friends.
And so he basically, like, thought that I was shutting him down, and we, like, were friends for a couple weeks and kind of a couple months. And basically, I was going home to Houston for spring break, and we hadn't met yet in person. This is like a month and a half going strong. We're just, like, Snapchatting and texting. And so I had gone home to Houston for spring break, which, side note to the funny story, I was supposed to go to Florida that week, which is another fate-like fate-like moment in our relationship. But I decided to not spend that extra money and just go home and spend time with my family. So he was on this basketball tournament thing and wasn't supposed to be able to come home at all. And he ended up texting me Friday before I went home on Saturday. Crazy. And he said, hey, I'm actually coming home. We lost our game. And then for the first time, I was like, oh my God, thank you, Central, for losing. You suck. Bye. Love you. But he was like, I'm coming home. Can we get dinner? Can I take you out? And I was like, sure. And so I was so nervous. I was like, oh my God, this boy, like, first of all, you know, you never know if someone's cute in their pictures. So I was like, oh my God, what if he's, like, not nice? And what if he's, like, weird? And, like, I'm in the car and I have to spend time with him. So my mom was like, okay, we're going to a concert later tonight. Why don't you just invite him and we'll get him a ticket. We'll go. So I did. He was totally cool with it. So that was my backup plan. That was, like, sure. My fail safe. That yeah. If the date
I mean, backup went- plan for careers, don't need them. Backup right. plans for boys,
for men, need them. You need the A, B, C, and D.
Yes.
Like, I had so many plans in order. I literally had my mom on, like, I think I texted her that I was going to text her an ex or something if it was going really bad and she needed to come get me.
Boys, so, we do have some male listeners. Just know we have those things.
We do. We just know that if you think you're really smooth, you're not smooth, and we've got 7 backup plans.
We can text an ex.
We can text an ex and literally, like,
not an ex. Not an ex, actual, but, like, letter X, like, and we're X, out of there.
And your friend or your mom or your grandma, someone's coming, or that's your right. dad's coming with a shotgun, and you better run if it's really bad.
Oh, but, like, yes.
When my dad first heard about AJ and I was FaceTiming him, he played Rodney Atkins cleaning this gun, and I was like, Dad, seriously? We've been dating for a day. Like, can you chill? But, like,
dads will appreciate that,
especially country dads. Yes. They're, like, real gritty.
Mm-hmm.
But no, so we had gone on this date, and I, like, can honestly say that aside from my best friend and my mom, I've never been able to talk to someone so much to where we both have to, like, stop and take breaks from eating so we can, like, talk. And it was crazy. So we ended our dinner, and it was going so well. And we ended up still going to the concert, and he met my parents. My parents loved him. The concert was great. Awesome artist, Josh Greider. If you ever get the chance to look him up, he's an amazing artist. He has a song called One Night Taco Stand. It's hilarious. It's so awesome. And he's just great. So look him up if you can. He's a Texas artist too, and I love local artists. So
sure,
awesome. Anyway, so after that, we ended up going back home and played euchre. This boy can play euchre.
Oh, he's not even from Michigan.
I know. I was like,
we like him. We'll keep him.
Exactly. I was like, oh, okay. You like my parents. My parents like you. You know how to play euchre. You like. He didn't even try and hold my hand. Like, he was such a gentleman.
Oh, we double like him,
y'all. He opened my chair at dinner. He pulled out my chair after he opened my car door. He still opens my car door, by the way, and pulls out my chair when we go on dates. And it's been 3 months.
We
so
like him.
We like him a lot. Mm-hmm. He's really sweet.
And he lives 1 mile away from your mom.
1 mile away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
We found that out after living. We met in Michigan, come back home, and he goes to drop me off at my house. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, we just passed my house. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, no, I live like over there. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I could literally take a jog to your house.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well,
there you go. Are you going to write a song about him?
Oh, I already did.
Oh, all right. Is that song coming out?
Yeah, it will be soon.
Okay, so that's a perfect transition. Let's talk about your new stuff that's coming out.
Well, basically, the music's been really fishing itself up in my brain. And yeah, I've busted out a bunch of new songs. And at this point, I don't really care where I record them. I just need a place with a mic, and it could be literally my basement. So yeah, hopefully by the end of the summer, fall at the latest, we'll have some new stuff to listen to.
That's awesome. So, and where will we be able to find it?
Hopefully Spotify, if I can figure out how to upload that by myself, but definitely YouTube, for sure, iTunes. I know how to work all that stuff. But yeah, the producer that I worked with in Nashville, another plug to First Impressions, he is gonna work with me because I'm not working with the people I worked with when I first went to Nashville. But he gave me his card kind of in like a little side thing and was like, hey, if you want me to produce your stuff again, I will. And so I still have his card and stuff, so I'll probably try and go back to him because he's a really good guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully soon, by the end of summer.
Awesome.
Fall latest.
Awesome. So what does the future hold for you, Miss Taylor?
That is such an open-ended question.
Right?
You know, at the end of the fall semester, I think I'm going to take a couple months and go to Houston and just, like, literally leave Michigan for a while. I've never done that. Never lived anywhere else.
Sure.
So I think I'm going to do that and just kind of, like, re-find myself and redefine myself, I guess is a better way to put it. I just feel like it's time. Like, it's just really time to go. So I'm going to do that, get some new inspiration, go to Nashville in the summer, and really just kind of let – this time I'm ready to let my career go. I wasn't before, and I had to hold myself back. I wouldn't have made it. I would have literally ended up like Miley Cyrus pre-awakening. So, like, it would have been real bad. I could really sense it, and I knew that I just needed to take a step back, find my faith again, find myself again, and then go. So now I know that I'm ready, and I'm ready for my career to do what it's going to do, and I'm just along for the ride now. Yeah. So
well, you're obviously a hustler, and you've got a lot of things working in your favor, and you're working it out there, right? I mean, that's the most important part, right? You are willing to put in what is necessary in order to to advance yourself in, but at the same time, I mean, it's obvious after speaking with you that you're not willing to compromise any of those principles, any of those values. So sounds like you're in for the long haul.
I am. You know, you got to get a couple pairs of good heels. That's why I'm wearing my lemon ones today. Yeah. And you got to get a couple pairs of good heels and just go.
I do love me some heels.
Oh, me too. Especially because my boyfriend's really tall. Like, come up to like his chest. I'm so small.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want our listeners to know about you?
Not really. If you want to help me pull for a cat, I'd really appreciate it. It's so important.
Yeah, Taylor visited the Humane Society today. Really, really, really wants a cat. Did not go home with a cat. So she's campaigning hard for that. So listeners, go ahead and when this episode drops, go ahead and comment and let's vote if Taylor should get a cat or not.
Yeah, like, do I need a little hustling buddy?
You
Her name's going to be Piper.
Oh, does Taylor need a Piper? Does she need She's a little really hustling cute. Buddy? That is going to be the question. So, Taylor, you are, you're hustling it out there, girl. You're smashing it. And I am just so excited to watch from the sidelines and just to be a part of just a small little part of your journey here. So I really appreciate you coming in today. Love listening to you on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays when you take over the microphone and show Matt how it's done.
Thank you.
And I look forward to watching your career just take off.
Thank you. Well, thanks for letting me be a part of the show. This is exciting. So cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun time. So listeners, thanks again for joining us wherever you are listening to us on your podcast this week. We are recording here on a Wednesday, and as you know, we will be live on a Wednesday for you to go ahead and download us. If you haven't subscribed yet to Hustlin' in Heels podcast, make sure you are doing that, sharing it with your friends, with your mom, with your sister, with your brother, with your uncle, with your best friend, with your little cat Piper. Share it with everybody.
Yes.
We are growing our tribe, and we thank you for every week that you join us. With that, I'm going to finish up the last of this Hickory Creek wine and call it a night. So, see you later, hustlers.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacey Carlin and Kaylee Gaines, and all views and opinions expressed on the shows are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Kaylee on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. And you can also send the show an email to letschat@hihpod.com. Feel free to write into the ladies if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. If you've got a question, comment, or to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all we have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for our next episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.